Welcome to Rhetorical Roots and Media Future, How Podcasting Fits into a Computers and Writing Classroom. Episode 5, Rethinking the Old and New Ways, Memory and Delivery. Welcome to Rhetorical Roots and Media Future, How Podcasting Fits into the Computers and Writing Classroom, a multimodal project exploring podcasting as part of a writing class. You are listening to Episode 5, Rethinking the Old and New Ways, Memory and Delivery. This is a 7-episode podcast series with interconnected web texts published in Kairos, a journal of rhetoric, technology, and pedagogy. A full transcript of each episode is available on the website and in the lyrics field of this MP3 file. I am Dr. Jennifer L. Bowie, your host for this series and a senior usability research analyst for the Home Depot website. I am also a podcaster with a variety of podcasts, including Screen Space, a podcast about creating usable, accessible, effective, and efficient web, blog, and digital media design for the everyday and non-expert designer. In this episode, I conclude my discussion of rethinking the rhetorical canon in new ways, focusing on memory and delivery. Without further ado, let us begin Episode 5, Rethinking the Old and New Ways, Memory and Delivery.
Memory is one of the canons that has been often forgotten, ignored, or de-emphasized with print rhetoric. In composing print arguments, the rhetorician has less of a need for memory to deliver the argument or to develop improvisational skills and a treasury hoboy to pull from improvisational circumstances. These skills are important for speeches and spoken improvisational arguments, but composition and rhetoric has pulled away from these types of arguments with the typographically based arguments. With the focus on typographically based arguments, memory was considered the recall of hoboy, drawing on kairos and grounded in audience and circumstances. Regardless, memory was clearly defined and developed for spoken arguments. As podcasting brings back the spoken aspects of argument, memory once again applies, and in more of the classical ways. The type of podcast most clearly related to the ancient spoken arguments is the unscripted podcast. For these podcasts, the rhetorician may draw on the same memory aids to recall a memorized speech, or, if the podcast is not memorized, may need to draw on the improvisational skills and mentor boy treasury. A scripted podcast may still delve more into memory than we see with print arguments. Even when scripted, the podcaster may go off script as something new may occur to her, possibly from some kairotic consideration or topoi she did not consider when scripting. As a podcaster, I know I do this at times. Even when composing a script, the podcaster may find considerations of kairos, audience, and circumstances more obvious and applicable. As podcasts have a shorter production process than many print texts, in part because they do not need to go through gatekeepers, kairotic choices may not only make more sense, but may be necessary to keep the podcast up to date. The students in my senior seminar class were more likely to mention current events, including the presidential election that occurred that semester, in their podcast than in other writing they composed that semester, except possibly their twice-weekly reading responses. They could draw on the debates, speeches, and other current and often political events for examples to not only give their arguments ethos, but also to connect to their audience who they knew was watching and listening to the same events. Most of my student podcasters created scripted podcasts which drew on their topoi treasuring the occasional improvisation, but did not require memorization or large amounts of improvisation. However, in my senior seminar class, they had 3 podcast reading responses, which were more casual and often off the cuff as part of their twice-a-week reading response requirement. For these responses, students often pulled from their topoi treasury using comparisons, relationships, circumstances, and testimony. Interestingly, there was less of these topoi in their print reading responses. Through the use of podcasting, both scripted and unscripted, but especially unscripted, students may work with the canon of memory in more classical and often richer methods than with the print argument. In my classes, students seem to value this canon, or at least understand it in more complex ways, after and while podcasting.
Delivery.
The final canon, delivery, applies to podcasting in both traditional and new ways. Delivery is, of course, how something is said. The public publication and presentation of discourse, including the production of the argument with effective gestures, tone, words, movements, and images. Obviously, the performance aspects of delivery, such as gestures, voice modulation, and articulation, are not easily applied to print text, and thus some aspects of delivery have been omitted or only briefly covered in print-based rhetorical texts and training. However, podcasting brings back some of these aspects. In audio podcasts, many of the techniques of vocal delivery are again applicable. Voice modulation, sound levels, and articulation are important considerations in audio podcasting. In video podcasting, these aspects of delivery are also important, along with gestures, of course. However, these classical oral delivery methods are not the only delivery methods applicable to podcasting. The delivery methods developed for print, web, and other typographic-based texts may also be appropriate in audio or video podcasting. Delivery of typographic-based text includes the look of the text, paper choices, background colors, typography choices, and visual to all impact the look and feel of a typographic-based text. As many podcasters have scripts, show notes, and other typographic-based texts associated with the episodes, the authors of these texts should draw on the same design and visual presentation methods developed for other typographic-based texts. In addition, many podcasts have websites and associated digital places for the podcast, which should also draw on the design and delivery considerations developed for digital, visually accessed texts. So the effective delivery of an audio or video podcast should consider the classical rhetorical speech methods along with typographic-based text methods. A good podcast should be delivered in a way that draws on and remediates the delivery of various media before it. But podcasting also brings with it additional considerations for delivery. The visuals of a typographic-based text may show up in additional places, with the transcripts or websites, but also be part of the podcast file, which includes album art and visuals within more advanced podcasts. Slides or pictures that change at particular intervals during the podcast is an example. As one student, Ryan Rice, put it, quote, "Compared to other types of electronic writing and publishing, I think podcasts actually allow the creator to do more in terms of presentation," unquote. Editing is another delivery-related concern. With typographic-based text, editing is important. However, editing for a podcast is a bit different. Sound editing, for example, includes editing out verbal tics, adding or removing pauses and silences, making words louder or quieter, fixing poorly pronounced words, editing for time and size, and more. Sometimes the edits may change poorly delivered aspects such as articulation and voice modulation, thus improving the final delivery of the text, in ways not possible with the classic rhetorical speeches. In my own classes and personally, I found that podcasters tend to understand their speaking quirks after an edit or two of their own recorded voice. In some cases, podcasters may become better speakers as they work to remove issues they spend a lot of time editing out of their podcasts. I'm much more aware of my verbal tic, and have begun working on my speaking to remove this. I use my ums as an example in class and have had several students come to me with similar examples they find in their own speaking, including ahs and likes and other issues such as speaking speeds. Thus, it seems podcast editing may lead to better delivered podcasts and enable podcasters to understand their own speaking issues and work to improve them, thus leading to better spoken texts overall. One final area of delivery consideration podcasts have that are not normally part of typographic-based texts or speeches is music. The classical rhetoricians, for example, did not have or use music to set the tone, at least not that I know of. Music also draws on invention, arrangement, and style consideration, and certainly adds to the final delivered product and overall performance of the podcast. Music may be used to connect episodes of a podcast with a theme song, for transitions within the text, as I do here, as examples to set tone, as background to add layers and auditory interest, and for other delivery-based considerations. My students have used music in a variety of interesting ways to improve delivery. One student used music from a friend's band to link his three reading response podcast together, creating interesting consistency more common among professional podcasts while providing free advertising for a friend. Several students use music for transitions between parts of their podcasts. The students who produced the previously mentioned pirate podcasting included beatboxing, a form of verbal percussion, which did not fit the pirate theme, but was used to wrap up the podcast and draw student interest. One student, Ashley Judge, created a series of podcasts called Red Arena, and she used music in ways that greatly increased the effectiveness of the performance of her podcast. She was a ballerina with a local company, and her series was about rhetoric in a grammar girl style. The beginning of each podcast had a different musical composition related to ballet, which built ethos for the name of her podcast, provided an ear-catching opening to her podcast, and set the tone for each piece. Here are some examples of students using music, including a small bit of music in the Red Arena podcast. These illustrate how the tone is set and how the ethos and pathos may be impacted.
Remember, guys, rhetoric is nothing but reason well-dressed and argument put in order. Thank you all.
It's Ashley Judge, and this is my November 10th Week in Review podcast.
Welcome back to Robert Manfredi's podcast show for Rhetoric and Composition, Senior Seminar Fall of 2008.
Welcome to the Red Arena Podcast, rhetorical tips to keep you on your toes.
My students who podcast tended to consider and reconsider the five rhetorical canons in both ancient and new ways. Delivery style and memory in podcasts have strong similarities to delivery style and memory of the ancient Greek rhetoricians, as they both are spoken forms. Thus, many of the key points Aristotle and others made about spoken rhetoric may be applied by students to their podcasts, permitting a more thorough understanding of these three canons than the students had when applying these canons to print texts. In addition, each of the canons may be applied new ways, drawing on the benefits of the media, such as the inclusion of music and new ways of delivery. Invention and arrangement may also be applied in both new and ancient ways, from the use of testimony in the voice of the speaker and the arrangement of various genres of podcasts. Students seemed to better grasp and understand the five canons when they applied them to podcasting. They used creative methods to make their podcasts richer and more effective rhetorical texts. But my students did not stop with their podcast. They tended to later apply their deeper understanding of the canons to other texts, from more traditional print texts to websites, blogs, and other digital media, and to speeches and oral presentations.
And that wraps up Rethinking the Canon, Episode 5, Rethinking the Old and New Ways, Memory, and Delivery. Do check out Episodes 3 and 4, where I cover the rest of the canon. In 3, I start the discussion of rethinking and investigate invention. In 4, I explore arrangement and style. Next, in 6, I delve into rethinking other writing skills, audience purpose, context, and tone. Episode 7 is my conclusion. Do not forget about the earlier episodes, 1, the introduction and podcasting overview, and 2, the literature review. These are all, of course, part of the multimodal text, Rhetorical Roots and Media Future, how podcasting fits into the computers running classroom. This multimodal text is published in Kairos, a journal of rhetoric, technology, and pedagogy. Please check out the full web text on Kairos at http://kairos.technorhetoric.net/16.2/topoi/bowie. Full reference information, transcripts, and links are available in the web text and also in the lyrics field of this MP3. All student samples in this podcast were used with full permission. The music used in this podcast is 6 off Ghosts 1 by Nine Inch Nails, which is available under an attribution, non-commercial, share-alike, Creative Commons license. This text is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 3.0 United States license. Rights to the student samples are reserved by their authors. Please give me, Jennifer L. Bowie, and Kairos credit. Don't make any money off of this, and share any derivative works. Thanks for listening.